You all, someone tonight. Her name is Melissa Winburn, and Melissa has been at Appalachia Service Project for many years, but over the last about year and a half, she has served as the president and CEO there at Appalachia Service Project, and you've been thrown into the fire, really. I mean, you know, a lot of tragedy during the last year and a half, and it's been amazing to see how God has moved, though, in that. I'm going to let her tell a lot more about what all God is doing with that. But just to remind you all that we were able to partner with them on the rebuild of 10 homes after Hurricane Helene. And here recently, we've been able to help them on an 11th home to help finance that. And so God has really blessed this partnership, not just after the hurricane, but before that. In Kentucky when there were floods, in West Virginia when there were floods, ASP has just been an incredible partnership for us for a long time. So, Melissa, we are excited to have you here. Can we welcome Melissa Winburn? And I think we're starting out with a video, and then she'll come up.
Well, you know, many folk ask us, why in the world does anyone build a house way back here in this isolated area at the headwaters of this creek? Now, why do they do that? Many folk have asked us that, and I used to ask myself. And then it dawned upon me. They build their homes here because this is where they live.
What happened is unlike anything anybody could have predicted, unlike anything in this area's recorded history.
We knew a storm was coming, but I don't think anyone in our area was prepared for what actually happened because we're in the mountains. Hurricanes don't happen here.
I saw some statistic that in about a 12-hour period, this area saw rainfall equivalent to the entire output of Niagara Falls over a two-year span, and the data and the maps reflect that. The earth, the land itself reflects that.
Within reach of ASP's headquarters in East Tennessee, there are over 100,000 homes that have been affected and at least 32 different counties that are asking for help.
There's an emotional and sentimental piece to when families have been on pieces of land for generations. For that to all be gone in an instant is absolutely devastating.
When the flood came, it took Jerry and the house. It washed away everything. My first gut reaction to all of this was to move. We'll sell it. I can't be here anymore. When ASP approached me, they said, we want to help rebuild this community. And I said, let me think about it. And as I thought about it more, I thought, I love my community. I love where I'm at. And I want to stay.
Honestly, this is my childhood home. This is all I know. When we left, my nana said, we're going to take the money and run. And I said, I don't want to go nowhere else. I want to go home. Honestly, words can't describe this new start. It's just, you see all this stuff being rebuilt, and I don't know. Makes you want to cry, honestly.
Creating disaster-resilient homes during a rebuild is very important. With this disaster in particular, we saw flooding and we saw wind damage. So we're looking to raise homes up above the floodplain so that they can be resilient to water that may rise in the future, and then also securing the different home elements and components to make sure that they are resistant to wind damage.
It just brings me a lot of hope to be able to sit on my deck and go, I know that person, I know that person. I'm so happy that they're getting a home. I'm just tickled that my friends and my neighbors are going to still be here.
ASP has a desire to rebuild at least 200 homes. And honestly, my hope is that that number will continue to grow, that we will just be here until the recovery effort is done and until the last nail is put into place.
Our mission has not changed. Our fortitude, our resolve toward that mission has not changed. If anything, it's only increased. We're going to keep going until the job is done.
The ability to come back home is what ASP is hoping to provide. So I'm delighted to be with you tonight because often it is Dallas or Walter that gets to speak on ASP's behalf. But I'm glad to be able to come up here so that I can say to you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys stepped up to serve your neighbors in need in an incredible way, and you did it without hesitation, faithfully, and with a spirit of abundance and conviction that made a huge difference really quickly. Rebuilding after a disaster is important to do fast because communities can lose hope. And we saw that, right? The difference this made. You guys live here, so I don't have to tell you what it was like. But the difference that it makes to be able to start raising walls within 30 days of the storm, handing over keys before Thanksgiving, handing over even more keys before Christmas last year. So we at ASP are so grateful for you, for Grace Meadows and Revive Church, for the commitment that you've had. What a difference you've made. And today it's interesting, right? Because it's raining and our hearts are with those that we know will have a substantial amount of dealing to do in the aftermath of Melissa. So we pray for our friends in the Caribbean dealing with that as well. Since the storm, ASB has rebuilt 36 homes in 8 different counties across East Tennessee and North Carolina. We have about another 38, could be 39 today, under construction. The numbers seem to go really fast. And out of those numbers, you have rebuilt a substantial percentage of those. And you've committed to help ASP with our new building, right? In that building, we hope to host over 160 volunteers at a time with wonderful bunk beds and showers and all those things. We hope to teach youth how to serve their neighbor well and what it is that, what it means to follow God's call in their life. We hope to do workforce development, getting those that want to learn how to use tools trained and put out into the field to help their neighbors in need. We'll have Revive Church hanging out with us, which I'm so excited about that. And we'll be able to house displaced families. So right now, we have to say no to a family who needs a new home if they don't have a place to live while we rebuild their home, especially if they've been living in a substandard house and we have to demolish it. So we'll get to invite them in. And honestly, man, we wish that we would have had the building right after Helene. Then we could have welcomed in a lot of displaced families. But we'll be able to do that in the future, and we'll pray that we never have to. So whether you know it or not, you've been involved with ASP in many ways, and Dallas even talked about the years that Grace Meadows has been involved. And I know that the commitment for rebuilding a home is not just made by those that are able to go out and swing a hammer, right? The commitment is made by an entire community. You all raised money. You all gave food to families that needed it, blankets, you helped furnish their homes. You have prayed for us, for the effort and for the families. Some of you stayed at home and did child duty while the other was able to go out and be on a site. So for me, I think it is a huge commitment, and I appreciate you all for being a part of it.
And that's one of the things that I love about ASP, is that it's built around empowerment that anyone can serve. So Tex Evans, who's the founder of ASP, had this vision that you could take youth and you could put them on work sites and you can make a substantial difference for those living in substandard conditions, that we could raise their conditions out of substandard conditions. And this was, we were founded in 1969, so this is the 70s, so where there was a lot of talk about that generation at that time. And there's a quote from Tex that I love, which he says, "I don't think this is the worst generation the world has ever seen. I think this is the best generation the world has ever seen, because I've seen them go out and make a difference for families who need it." And I love that sort of spirit with ASP, because I've heard time and time again that this shouldn't work, that the model that we have doesn't make a lot of sense. That we, let me just, Grace Meadows is rare. You all have a lot of people who are skilled in construction that come out and work on our sites. That is not the same with all of ASP's volunteers. We have a lot of very skilled volunteers in things other than construction that come out and work on our sites. So the idea is that this shouldn't work, that we've got a bunch of ill-equipped people doing really big tasks, and it just doesn't make sense that those things would match up. So in that spirit, I thought I would tell you a little bit about myself, my story, my ill-equipped beginnings, because some of you know me, but most of you probably just know me as that lady who had really, really big shoes to fill as CEO of ASP after Walter left the seat. So I'm going to share with you a couple of my favorite Bible verses and then tell you my story. So one of my favorite verses comes from 1 John, and it's 1 John 3:16, not to be confused with John 3:16, which is also a very great verse, but this is 1 John 3:16 through 19, and here's how it goes. John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but in actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." And in the next chapter, 1 John 4:11 and 12, he says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So I volunteered with ASP when I was in high school. I spent a couple of summers on summer staff. And one of those summers, I was working for a woman, Miss Lottie Brock, and she was a gardener. So she had tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and all of those things. She kept her garden up really amazingly, peas, all kinds of things. She'd share pretty liberally with the volunteers that were out on her site, which was nice to have fresh things. And most days when I'd go visit, she was out there in her field tending to her garden. And then one day I went and visited, and she was on her porch snapping peas, as you do in Appalachia. And so I sat down and sat with her, and we're talking a little bit. And eventually she says, "I think the work that you're doing is going to make a big difference." And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course. I hope it does make a big difference. That's why we're here, Lottie." You know, and I kind of brushed past it. And she got real serious, and she put her hand on my arm, and she said, "No, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Remember, we were doing insulation at the time, and she said, remember that leak under my sink that you fixed last week?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, I think the insulation is going to make a difference, because during the winter, the water that would collect in the pots from that leak would freeze. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. Now, I'm originally from Florida, so it was the first time in my life that I had thought about the fact that water could freeze inside the home in the winter. And it blew my mind. I cried like crazy when I left her porch that day. And I remember thinking that I was ill-equipped, that this was too big of a job. You know, I didn't know a ton about construction at that time. When I was 14, someone put an X-Acto knife and a drill in my hand and taught me how to put up drywall, and it blew my mind. And then made me change my track in life, and I wanted to be a contractor. But at that time, I felt like I can't be making decisions on someone's home to keep them warm all summer. This is crazy. Another story involves a family of four. As a father and mother. The father is actually a part-time pastor at a church, a small church. They didn't have enough money to pay him, but he was faithful there. And then he worked a part-time job as well. And his roof was leaking very badly. And it had leaked so bad that there was just mold all over. The drywall had fallen in. The carpet was kind of missing in the place underneath the floor. The decking needed to be replaced. The rafters needed to be replaced. And I went to go take a look at that job, and it was one of the bigger jobs that I had ever been a part of. I wasn't totally sure that I even knew how to replace that much of a roof. I had done roofing before, but hadn't gone into the structural elements. But I couldn't look at this family and say no. So gathered friends, we went out there weekend after weekend, figured out what needed to be done. Got it done. And of course, as you're working, you get to know the residents there. And so there was a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old. And the 12-year-old girl was around all the time. We had a great time with her. She was running all over the place. 16-year-old, we didn't see very often because he was a 16-year-old. And so he kind of stayed in his room, wouldn't come out very often. If he did, his mom would say, "Hey, come say hello to everybody," and his eyes would be down. Couldn't fully tell whether he hated us or if he was embarrassed to have us there or what it was. But we were there for a number of weeks, way more weeks than we should have been there to fix this sort of thing. But again, I was learning how to fix it as we went along. And so we got to know him a little bit better too. And I had this opportunity to overhear him talking with his friends on the phone. And he kept saying, "No, no, you've got to come over and see my new house. You've got to come over and see my new house." And of course, we had not built him a new house. But to me, that difference of having a place that you're proud of, a place that's warm, safe, and dry, made me think that even me, ill-equipped, can make a big difference. And I think back to that experience, and I felt so unsure of myself at the time, but I'm positive now that I was sent to those places, that God was willing to show me how to reflect God's love if I was willing to trust in God and stay connected to that example of Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. This verse says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Friends, I think that we are seriously called to give ourselves to others. We're called to be the hands and feet of God. And we have these not so rare opportunities to heal each other, to care for each other, to hold each other up in times of need, to rebuild after destruction, And we're all in need of love as well. You'd be surprised what a little bit of faith and a willingness to step out to help can do. In the video, you saw Miss Vicky, who lost her husband at the same time that she lost her house. The rescue team made it there. Both her and her husband were on their home as it was starting to come off its foundation. They were able to rescue her and then told her that they were not able to save her husband. You rebuilt her home. That house behind her in the video is because of you. And she was in her home right around Christmas time and has been there for almost a year now. And her horses, who were evacuated from the barn, who were pregnant at the time of the storm, have little baby horses running around now, which is amazing. I believe in a God of rainbows after storms, a God of resurrection and redemption. And I'm grateful that God calls us to be a part of his mission in the world, that he's already at work doing, and that God allows us to be his hands and feet. Because we are not promised an easy path, but we are promised presence. And we are all invited to be a part of that presence. And you never know when you might be the presence of God for a neighbor in need. And you never know when you're doing something for the least of these, when Jesus' face might be looking right back at you, and that they may be the presence of God for you. This congregation has been that face of love for so many. So after 30-ish years in the industry now, I feel that the sentence, "this shouldn't work," may work for the world. But I've come to believe that maybe, just maybe, this is the only way that it's supposed to work. That when folks show up with willing hands, open hearts, God will show out in amazing ways. God can rebuild homes with teenagers. I've seen it time and time again. And God can raise homes after a hurricane. So I'm asking you to continue to stick with us. 36 homes is a good amount of homes, but it's not enough, and it's not fast enough. So we want to keep going. You heard me say that I hope that we do 200 homes, but I really do hope that we're able to do even more than that. That we will just keep helping our neighbors and neighbors, and when we're done with hurricane recovery, we'll go to the next house and say, "What do you need?" And then it's just neighbors helping neighbors. And my hope is that we will be able to hear many, many families on the phone saying, "You've got to come see my new house." Friends, you've done an incredible thing. Stay faithful. And if you'll close with me in prayer today, let's bow our hearts together. God of love, we come to you today knowing that there is pain and suffering in the world. We come knowing that a safe house is not a given. That even today, there are countless families in the Caribbean that will not have a home to return to tomorrow. We hurt for those who need safety and shelter, and we know that you are a God of abundance. You have given us an example of your love in the world. You have called us to join you in your mission. God, help us to have hearts stirred to compassion so that we may serve you by serving others, not just in word or tongue, but in action and in truth. And in doing so, May we create a relationship of heavenly love. God, we ask you to give us stamina to continue to join you in your mission in this world. And in everything that we do, Lord, let there be less of us and more of you. And teach us how to love each other well. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me join you tonight. And thank you for the food. It was amazing. Appreciate you guys.
Melissa, thank you very much for sharing. For those of you who don't know, ASP is one of our regular monthly partners. At GMC, we have 12. We counted again today just because we are very fortunate to be able to keep adding. But we have 12 partners that we give to monthly, and ASP is one of them. So if you're curious, when we say we're a church who is about missions, 50% goes to missions, it goes to partners like ASP so that we can monthly support and help fund projects and see things done. But it doesn't just stop at finances. It is hands-on, it is engagement, it is prayer, it is meeting with the partners. Michael Hensley was here at Barn Toberfest. If you got a chance to meet him, if you got his story, he came from Capitol Hill. The guy was working on Capitol Hill, and God said, hey, I want you to go do something else. I want you to go do something else. And now he is fighting for people to have security of home. Like, ASP is bringing in some of the best to help get people in clean, dry, warm homes. And Melissa, we thank you very much for ASP for that. You said something, and I took some notes because that's what I do, and then I repeat them. So you said it shouldn't work. You said there's no reason this should work. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, wait, isn't that the gospel? Like, that's the gospel, right? Why should it work? Why should a ragtag group of guys be able to change the world? And yet the world was changed, right? So why should it work? It should work because if we're keeping God central to it, it just happens. It just flourishes on its own. And he made that work from the beginning. You shared 1 John 3:16-18, and it says, let us not love by words or by tongue, but in deeds and in truth, by love and action. That's kind of how I like pare that down. It's just love and action. It's not just the finances. Like, we're going to have an opportunity in a few weeks at the men's breakfast, to go and serve at ASP to help with the building that it's going to be used, to help with Revive's plant space in ASP's building. And so, like, that is open to not just the men. It is open to the church. And we would love to have everyone who wants to come out and serve, please meet us there, serve. I'm certain that Melissa and Brian and Walter can find you something to do. Because it seems like, yeah, and Kayla and Steve are like, yeah, we got a list. Let's go. So, you know, it's there. So church, please, please, please. But I wrote this down at the end. It says, to abide in his call of our lives, we must remain open-handed. We must remain in a position that allows us who are unequipped to become equipped as the hands and feet of Jesus. We must have our hands open that we can become equipped to become the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that is kind of our mission. That is our goal. ASP, thank you. Melissa, thank you for sharing. Thanks for sharing just an update of what's going on, but also just calling us to that, challenging us with that this evening. So church, thank you guys for just loving our mission partners well. Support Revive. They're going to be there. They're going to be the hands and feet in that area, in that space. They have a huge opportunity to serve. So it's not just about GMC. It's about Revive. It's about the big C church, okay? We're not for small C. We're for the big C. We want to see the hands and feet of Jesus go beyond. So if you will bow your heads and pray, we're going to close out this evening. Father, we love you and we thank you so much. We thank you for our partners. God, we thank you that you take the unequipped and you equip them. God, it is our prayer tonight that we keep our hearts and minds to the families in need that are suffering during this season, during these storms. For the families who are still displaced and the ones who are in unsafe dwellings. God, we know that you are working in these places. God, I just ask that you help us to remain open-handed, with our hearts open as well, that we may hear the whisper, we may hear the calling, we may be an opportunity to just serve
in the way that you would have us to serve. Father, we thank you for our partners. We thank you for who they are and how they serve their community. Father, I thank you for bringing us together this evening to have a meal, to fellowship, and to learn more about the things that you're doing and the opportunities that we can serve our community and serve others, displaying the love that you have provided for us first. Father, it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. You, Melissa.